From KQED in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. If you're a member of this radio and television station, and even if you're not, you may have heard about our topic coming up this hour on Forum. KQED is in the midst of big changes, merging its operations with KTEH San Jose and KCAH Monterey. And now KQED wants to make another change, to eliminate membership voting on key issues facing the organization. In the hour ahead, we'll hear from the chairman of the KQED board, a media critic, and an expert on nonprofit management. Our question, what role should members play in running KQED? And you can weigh in with your calls and emails on this topic after this. From KQED in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson, and welcome to our second hour of Forum. What role should members play in running this public radio and television station? Right now, KQED is the only public station in America that elects its board members solely by membership voting. And members also get to weigh in on major corporate actions and changes in the company's bylaws. But recently, the station's board asked its members to change that way of doing business. In a unique balloting exercise going on right now, all 190,000 members of KQED are being asked to vote on whether or not they should vote. The argument for KQED moving away from membership voting on corporate matters is essentially twofold. Voting costs a lot of money, some $250,000 per election, the station says, and it's slow. And in today's media environment, it's simply not realistic or cost-effective to do business in this way. Critics, on the other hand, argue that taking away membership voting goes against the grain of what a public station ought to be about, and that it disenfranchises members from playing a key role in how the station is run, leading to less public accountability. Later on in the hour, of course, we're going to open up this discussion and hear your views on this topic. But to get us started, three people with thoughtful but differing views on the subject at hand. Nick Donatello is chairman of the KQED Board of Directors, and he joins us this morning in our studio. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you here. As we are, Jeff Perlstein, who is executive director of the Media Alliance, a Bay Area media advocacy organization that is opposed to the change in membership voting at KQED. Jeff Perlstein, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me with you.
Happy to have you. And Dr. Nora Silver joins us as well. She's director of the Nonprofit and Public Management Program at the Haas School of Business at the University of California, Berkeley. Dr. Silver, good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for having me here also.
Thanks, all three. Nick Donatello, why make this change? There are many things on the ballot we should note. There are four or five things that the board is asking members to vote on, but the one that has obviously garnered the most attention is this question of whether or not members should have a role in voting, whether that's on the board of directors or specific issues before KQED. Why make the change?
Well, we're asking for the change, not making it, but it'll be up to the members to decide. But I think the history here is important. We needed to go to the members in order to get their permission to change our name, which is the number one thing on the ballot. The first thing we're asking is to change the name of the corporate umbrella organization, not the call letters of KQED-FM or KQED on television, but the umbrella organization, from KQED Inc. to Northern California Public Broadcasting.
And that's, again, because of the merger with KTEH in San Jose and KCAH in Monterey.
Exactly, because we felt we needed a name that represented all of the viewers and listeners of all the stations. And the FCC not only agreed, but made it a condition of the merger that we ask for this name change. In order to change our name, we have to go to the members, which costs us $250,000, as you point out. And historically, a very small percentage of our members have voted. So one of the things we thought we would ask is whether they want to continue to spend their money in this way, or would they prefer that we spend that money in a more mission-centric way.
But speak to the heart of the question about whether or not beyond the cost question, or tell me more about the cost question. I mean, $250,000 does sound like a lot of money, but it's a company with a $60 million a year budget. So $250,000 represents, what, something like half of 1% of the station's budget. Why is the cost figure so essential in your judgment?
Well, I think there are a couple reasons why. First of all, the board feels an obligation to watch every dollar that we spend here. That is our commitment to the members who very generously give us their money. And $250,000 buys a lot of programming. Mm-hmm. It buys 6 months of this program forum. It buys 6 months of the Josh Kornbluth show. It buys a whole year of our broadcasts of the Commonwealth Club, the World Affairs Council, and City Arts and Lectures combined. And so on the margin, that money means a lot. And one of our strategic objectives is to do more local programming. And $250,000 goes a long way.
So is that to you the heart of the argument, is what is the best use of dollars that are given to support a public media company, whether that is to provide more programming or to do this exercise in democracy?
I think there are two key issues. One is cost, and the other is responsiveness. We are in a changing media environment. It's changing very quickly. And there are a lot of things we cannot do unless we go to the members and ask. We don't know what those would be, or we'd ask now. But the world changes. Our bylaws need to keep up. Our articles of incorporation need to keep up. And if we have to go to the membership every time, not only is it costly, but it can also be lengthy. And that can get in the way of taking advantage of opportunities. And it has gotten in the way of taking advantage of opportunities in the past.
Nick Donatello is board chair of KQED, and we want to get the comments from our other guests in just a moment. But one more point on this, which is one of the fundamental things that you're asking people to do is to no longer vote on who gets to be on the board of directors. KQED is unique in that its board of directors is elected solely by its membership. But in some ways, couldn't that be a good calling card? I mean, isn't that in a way testimony to what a public company ought to be about? Guess what? Our board of directors is elected by our members. Why go away from that way of electing your board? And if you go away from that, who does select the board?
Right. Well, first of all, in theory, what you just said is right. Unfortunately, in practice, it doesn't really work that way. In practice, only about 10% of the people we serve through our radio and our television are members. And only about 10% of those members bother to vote in an election, which means only 1% of the people we serve are making the decisions you're talking about. So although it would be nice in theory to say, yes, we have a board that's elected by the public, it's really not, even when we have elections. But the other thing is, unfortunately, we're hamstrung by California law. We can't allow the board to make changes to the bylaws and the articles and still have the members make decisions about directors and elect directors. The law doesn't allow us to split that hair, unfortunately.
One last question, and then I want to bring in our other guests, Jeff Perlstein and Dr. Nora Silver. But in a sense, it sounds like you're making the argument that one of the reasons why electing board officers is not a great plan is because the participation is so low. But, you know, you could make the same argument about many local elections where turnout is very small. And you wouldn't want to say in those circumstances, well, turnout is small, therefore we just won't have an election.
Well, I think that's true. But a couple things about that. One is when you say small, you don't mean 1%, right? Small turnout in an election is generally many, many multiples of that.
Well, and actually in local elections, often 10% is a rather normal turnout.
Well, 10% is 10 times 1%, so that's a big difference to me. But even more to the point, I think the question here, because we're not talking about local governance, we're talking about spending the money our members generously and graciously give us. Usually they give it to us because they expect it to be spent on our mission. All we're asking them now is how would they like to see that money spent? And it's up to them to decide.
Nick Donatello is board chair of KQED. He joins us this hour along with Jeff Perlstein, executive director of the Media Alliance, and Nora Silver of the Haas School of Business at the University of California. Jeff Perlstein, you've heard Nick Donatello sort of lay out the case. Take up the cost question first, because it's a fair argument. It's $250,000. You heard Nick Donatello detail the kinds of things that money could be used for in an alternative way that might benefit the listeners and viewers of KQED. What's your response on first the cost question?
Sure. I'd love to address that question. First off, I just want to take a moment to thank the staff of Forum for convening this conversation on air, because I know there's lots of other pressing issues, but our organization, Media Alliance, does believe that issues of governance, public input, accountability, and democracy are crucial to how our public resources, and especially our public media resources, are used. So, I know that there's a lot to fit in, but I think this is very important. And clearly the board of KQED thinks this is important, too. They're putting it to the voters. So just want to take a moment with that. As far as the cost, yes, I mean, of course, in this day and age, programming is expensive, and that's, the core of KQED's mission, to provide strong programming. And we hope that we will see more local programming from KQED, which has been promised for quite a long time. But, you know, when you really boil it down here, we're talking about, I believe it's $1.50 per member for this mailing. I did some looking at KQED's tax filings and gone online and saw back in 2003 the fundraising budget was around $11 million. So that would mean that this is this cost, and I haven't seen the 2005 figures, but I'm using those numbers, is about 1/44 of the fundraising budget from 2003 to contact the members once a year to ask them to participate in this process of governance around the station that they've invested money and time and energy in. So to a membership-driven organization like ours, who is really interested in looking at more accountable, diverse, and democratic media writ large, that investment seems relatively small to make sure that there is this opportunity that has existed for more than 50 years now at this very successful station.
But you heard Mr. Donatello make the argument that it's sort of compared to what? I don't think it's so much a question of whether or not it's nice to have members weigh in, but it's versus what you could alternatively use that money for.
Absolutely, and that's what I started off by saying. You know, there's a need for more funds for programming, but to us, there's a core issue here as far as accountability and oversight of these public resources and also the donations that these members are making. These are the investors, these are the shareholders, the owners, really, in many ways, of this station. So $1.50 per member for each of them who are already donating, maybe $25,000, $50,000, $5,000, for them to have an opportunity to have a sort of check accountability on the mission, the governance of this entity seems like a very modest investment. And, I think actually that there's a lot more that could be done by the board and by KQED if they wanted to increase the turnout of the vote, to increase greater member participation. I think in some ways the fact that there's not more done besides sending out the mailing as far as the use of the airwaves and other resources to promote voting really calls into question in some ways whether that is the core commitment of the board and if that is the real motivation here or if there's another motivation, because we know that over time there's been a long-standing effort by some members on the board to disenfranchise the voters in this very way, to ask the voters to vote themselves out of ever having a vote again. And we think that's an inappropriate action.
So you seem to be hinting at a sort of darker side to this, Jeff Perlstein. What are you suggesting is really at play here?
Well, it's not really any conspiracy theory. It's been very clearly discussed over time. This motion, this bylaw change, has been discussed for quite a while. It's tried to get on the ballot. It was a contested vote by the board this time, as I understand it, 15-10. This was not a unanimous decision by the board. It's clear that, if you really read between the lines here, that this member vote, this oversight, is really a nuisance or seen as a nuisance by some board members. And it's our belief that this is a very important check, a very important mechanism for accountability, especially in this day and age where we've seen so much lack of accountability from big corporate entities.
Yeah. Jeff Perlstein, Executive Director of the Media Alliance. He joins us this hour along with Nick Donatello, the Chair of the KQED Board of Directors, and Dr. Nora Silver of the Haas School of Business at the University of California, Berkeley, where she directs a program in nonprofit and public management. Dr. Silver, put this in some perspective, if you would, because you look at how nonprofits operate around the state and around the country. And this must not be the only nonprofit membership-driven organization that contends with such an issue. How do you view this question of what role the members ought to play in corporate governance?
Well, I think the critical piece here is that any nonprofit organization holds the organization in trust for the community. The substitute, there are no shareholders, there are community participants. And there are two different kinds of nonprofits. One is membership, one is non-membership. Membership organizations are messy. By definition, they have lots of people participating. An example, for instance, is the Automobile Association, American Automobile Association, has 45 million members. Imagine that kind of vote. So KQED is not alone in having to manage what is a very messy governance process. I will give them that.
What are the sort of costs and benefits of messiness, if you will?
Okay. Most nonprofits have larger boards than corporate boards, and they're more diverse to be able to represent the organization. There is some correlation between people who are involved in an organization and how much they support it financially. So I think that's one of the benefits of a larger membership organization can be the fundraising. You get more diverse opinions. At the end of the day, the more involved your constituents are with you, the more if you have to advocate for an issue, stand up for your organization, you want those members with you. Those are the good things about it. The drawbacks are exactly what Mr. Donatello said. There are costs associated with it, and it can be slow. But I want to address the slowness issue because no one's spoken to that yet.
Sure.
The change here, or what these members vote on, are a finite set of decisions, and they're not every year decisions. They are voting on the board members, but they're voting on changes to the bylaws and articles of incorporation. This is not something done frequently by an organization. So these are specific and time-limited decisions.
Can I just add to that as well on the slow?
Jeff Perlstein.
I think it's important to note out that, and I think Mr. Donatello really pointed out, that the media environment is rapidly changing. There's things shifting dramatically. There's the need to contend with all sorts of technological changes and also all sorts of consolidation and shifting business opportunities. So I think that's very important to acknowledge. That said, I think it's important to acknowledge in this particular instance, as I understand it, that the merger that really prompted in some ways these changes was not held up by the fact that the members needed to vote on some of these suggestions. As I understand it, the merger has gone forward. These are some very specific, smaller points that are related to the merger, but this is around governance that are being asked.
Yeah, let's dig into that, Nick Donatello, because that sort of gets at the nub, I think, of one of the arguments, which is that it's difficult to operate a big media company in today's economic environment if you're handcuffed in some ways by a slowing down sort of process. But as Mr. Perlstein suggests, the merger with KTEH San Jose and KCAH Monterey was something that went forward without having to go to a membership vote. And many things that happen here at KQED go forward without taking it to a membership vote. So it's not like every time, you know, the program director wants to change the schedule, we put it to a membership vote, or
right.
Every time we want to embark on some new endeavor, including a big endeavor like a merger, it has to go to a vote.
Well, I think that we should be careful about the KTH merger as an example, because we were very, very lucky. We were lucky because we were able to structure around the bylaws requirements in this particular case. And that really has to do with the nature of the merger. We structured the merger as essentially an asset purchase. And we were able to do that. We got lucky. We were able to do that because of the way KTH was set up, because their foundation, because of the way we were set up. I would say, frankly, we dodged a bullet, and I'm not particularly interested in loading the gun and pointing it again.
But that would seem to suggest that you're really glad that you did not have to put the merger to a membership vote. Is that correct?
Yes.
And because it might have gotten turned down?
No, not because it might have gotten turned down, because when there's always two parties involved. And I don't think for a minute that KTH would have engaged in these merger discussions if there had to be a membership vote before it could be consummated. And I think that that is the typical situation, because then if it fails, it really creates not just a problem for us, because frankly, the problem for us would have been quite small, but a fairly large problem for them. As people who then would have stepped up to something and then had our members, not their members, turn it down. So I think that it's impractical, among other things. So yes, I think this was a very important step for KQED, and I'm glad we were able to get it done. And I think it's going to benefit the members tremendously.
Nick Donatello is chair of the KQED board. Nora Silver at the Haas School of Business at UC Berkeley, respond to that. There are some that, in other words, there are some big things that companies need to do, in this case the merger, that you really don't want to put up for a membership vote. Would you agree with that, or would you think that that's the kind of thing, the precisely the kind of thing that ought to be put up to a membership vote?
I think there are pluses and minuses here. With my hat on as, you know, director of nonprofit and public management and looking at the legality of it, absolutely, it's a membership decision. There's no question about that. And I think it depends on the extent to which the mission of the organization is public serving and public involving at the governance level. With another hat, if I were running an organization, either on the board or as the president or executive director, it's a difficult thing to manage. I think Mr. Dontell is absolutely right on that. It's there are instances where you don't want to go public. It's not a case where you can just go public to your 190,000 members and keep this quiet. So I think it is. I think it is difficult.
And Jeff Perlstein, where would you come down on that? Because it's a really interesting case in point, it seems to me, about what the role of a membership organization ought to be.
Yeah. Well, let me first start off by saying that Media Alliance is a membership-based organization, and I'm the director, and I deal with, you know, certainly not, we're not certainly the scale of KQED, we don't have the budget or the membership. We've been around for 30 years. Actually, just last night we had our 30th anniversary celebration with Helen Thomas. It was a big success. And, you know, one of the themes over and over that kept coming up, you know, is the reason that an organization like Media Alliance has been able to survive for 30 years through changing political times, the changing media environment, is because of a committed membership who's engaged. There's an annual meeting, there's committees, there's lots of opportunities for them to be involved. And again, I understand that's different from a media outlet, but it goes to what Ms. Silver was saying, that there is a correlation between the opportunity for members to be engaged and feel engaged and have some sense of oversight and accountability and the success of the organization. We've seen KQED be very successful over 50-plus years with the members having this very vote, this check. And it seems to me, acknowledging that there's a changing media environment, that this particular, especially in this particular moment with, as we've seen, a number of corporate scandals and questions around accountability, to have this one mechanism, this one check and balance there in place is an important thing to keep in place.
Yeah, we have to take a break, but Nora Silver, just one quick thought, if you would, please. Is that your essential concern with this, that it sort of sends up the wrong signal, that it says it's a kind of stop sign that signals that we don't, that an organization doesn't want a fully engaged voting membership?
I don't think that's the impetus. I don't think that's the purpose, but I think it sends a mixed message, because the purpose of the organization, I believe, is to engage people. And to take a step that disengages people at some level has some tension to it.
Yeah, and we will pick up with that very point about how we ought to, how KQED ought to engage its listeners, its viewers, its members as this company goes forward in the future. We'll take that up when we come back, and we would welcome your participation very much in this conversation. You can call us now at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786, or you can email us at forum@kqed.org, forum@kqed.org. Again, our question: what should the role of members be in the running of this public radio and television station, KQED? We'll take your calls and your emails on that question when we return. I'm Dave Iverson, and this is Forum on KQED. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Dave Iverson. Our topic this hour is KQED itself, radio and television and interactive, and the role that members ought to play in how this station is organized and operated, particularly a vote that has now been put to the membership to decide whether or not members should continue to be able to vote on key issues facing the corporation. Our guests include Nick Donatello, who is chairman of the KQED Board of Directors, Jeff Perlstein, executive director of the Media Alliance, a Bay Area media advocacy organization, and Dr. Nora Silver, who directs the nonprofit and public management program at the Haas School of Business at the University of California, Berkeley. Dr. Silver, and we welcome your calls, by the way, and we will get to those very shortly in terms of your views on how KQED ought to involve its members. But before we get to those calls, Dr. Silver, from your standpoint, as you look at nonprofits generally, what are sort of the norms for how the public can be engaged?
Okay, most nonprofits are not membership organizations, and so the way they involve people is in governance on the board, through community service and community participation, through advocacy and other involvement outreach efforts. Those are many ways that people can be involved. The other thing about nonprofits that may be invisible to most people is that at this point in time, nonprofits get about 53% of their income from fees and services. So they actually, there's a financial exchange with people in the community as well.
And what about membership organizations like KQED? As you look at it and you look at this question of how we ought to involve members and some of the points you were making in the first part of this program about the value, if also sometimes the messiness of that, how would you look to see the way in which this organization ought to continue to actively engage its members?
Other than through membership?
Right. Well, and the way, I guess more specifically, the way in which members ought to be involved.
Okay. Many membership organizations are trade associations. They're business leagues. They're organizations that advocate for their members on their members' interest. And I think that's an important way for KQED. It's an important role. It's always taken in the community. It's something we rely on it to do. So I think it needs to really look at what are the issues that it can represent this larger community on and engage the community in those questions, which I think it does. My concern on the other side of that coin is I think we have a real crisis of legitimacy in the whole nonprofit arena. It's not just scandals, but there are questions about how well do these nonprofits to whom we afford a tax benefit, how well do they represent not just our members but our broader community? So I think that's a question I would put on the table is to what extent does this undermine or enhance the legitimacy of KQED, and how can it continue to advocate for public involvement, which I think is part of its mission, frankly, at the same time that nonprofits are fiercely challenged to be sustainable. Sport has very difficult business decisions to make, and running this operation is challenging.
Dr. Nora Silver is the director of the Nonprofit and Public Management Program at the Haas School of Business at the University of California, Berkeley. Again, KQED is a membership corporation, right, Nick? I think earlier I said membership organization, but it's a membership corporation. But as Dr. Silver suggests, one of its missions is to engage the public. And I want to read you from the mission statement itself, because I think it draws out this question. KQED delivers television, radio, and internet content that makes people think, feel, and explore new ideas. Our programming and services reflect the value that we place on human dignity, lifelong learning, the power of ideas, and the importance of community service and civic participation. So if civic participation is a key part of the KQED mission, doesn't it send a bit of an odd signal to say we don't want our members to participate in that way?
Well, we do want our members to participate in lots of ways. And first of all, we want not just our members. And one of the things that makes us different from a lot of trade associations or business associations that Dr. Silver was talking about is that our first obligation is not simply to our members, but to the entire community. We hold broadcast licenses that are community licenses, and our obligation is to serve the broad community, all parts of our community. Only 1 in 10 of our listeners or viewers are members. So our obligation is, yes, to our members, but really to a much broader group. And we give them a lot of opportunities, and we'll continue to give them a lot of opportunities to participate both in civic dialogue through call-in shows like this, through lots of things that we do online, on television, on radio. But we also encourage them to be involved in the organization in other ways. Thousands of people come to the station every year to see it, talk to us about it. These are members of the public to tell us what they think. All of our board meetings are open all of the committee meetings of the board are open to the public, and the public is encouraged to attend all of those meetings. That's not just good policy, which it is. It's also a requirement of our CPB funding. And any member of the public can arrange to speak to the board at a board meeting. So there are lots of opportunities for the public to be involved, as well as members, and we'd encourage that.
And let's involve some of those members of the public now through your calls. Let's go first to Pearl, who joins us from San Francisco. Pearl, go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had a quick question. Given the changing media environment, the internet, et cetera, wouldn't there be ways to decrease the cost of involving members and really encourage their participation through the internet, and for people who wanted a mailing who couldn't afford it to request that, you know, through phone call, to really engage in letting people know what vote was up on the air, a variety of things that could be thought about and done
yeah.
to decrease the $250,000 cost.
Really interesting and important point and question, Pearl. Thanks so much for raising it. It's true, Nick Donatello, that you could go to the you do have the option of online voting now, but wouldn't one alternative here be to simply say, we're not going to do the paper ballots anymore. We're just going to do online. If you really can't vote online, let us know. Wouldn't that decrease the cost of quite a lot and be an alternative to what you're now proposing?
It absolutely would decrease the cost, and I wish we could do it. We can permit online voting, but California Corporations Law is apparently quite specific about this, and it doesn't allow us to do strictly online notification unless we already have the members' permission to do that rather than to send them a ballot. And so we end up in this sort of chicken and egg situation where it's great. I hope a lot of people vote online. We'll save money. But it's unlikely to allow us ever, in part because of voter turnover and because of email address turnover, to save us money on the outgoing mailing.
And to Susan in Forestville. Susan, go ahead.
Yes, I think that there's probably ways, I'm sure, creative ways of getting members permission for the voting. Certainly a one-time deal. And then it's in place after that. Might be a little bit of an expenditure up front. But the thing that I really wanted to comment on is that I'm a longtime member. And over the past 5 years, I've been frustrated to the point of nearly cashing in my membership. Anytime I have a concern or a complaint, I have written numerous times on email. I've called up numerous times, left messages. I have never, ever gotten a call back. Now, that's not a way to deal with a paying member.
Susan, thank you. Nick Donatello, response.
No, she's absolutely right. And Susan, I apologize on behalf of the station. I will tell you that it is our policy to respond to every letter and every email. We have 20 people who work here, roughly 20 people whose job it is to serve the audience and the members, answer questions, respond to phone calls. So I hope if you're still here that we can make sure that we get your name and your email address and that we figure out why you haven't gotten a response, because I think that's very unusual.
I'm afraid I've let Susan go, but Susan, if you want to email into the forum email address, we'll see if we can get that for you. And it sounds like Mr. Donatello wants to respond. Jeff Perlstein, I've left you out of the conversation for a bit, but as you're listening into this and this desire for membership involvement, what's your take on how KQED could best involve its members?
Well, I actually don't want to thank you for the question, and I actually am really encouraged by the call-ins that we've heard. It sounds like, you know, of course, this is a very small sample, but folks are interested in finding creative ways to make sure that members can continue to have this very important right, this very important kind of check and balance on the station. So I'm very encouraged by that, and that's actually what we've heard and seen from members that we've spoken to. And I do think there are a number of creative ways, which I'm sure could be come up with, including, you know, when people pledge, there could be a checkbox, or when they call in to ask them, you know, is it appropriate, would you be okay to contact you via email with their permission, as Mr. Donatello said, is the way that could work. So I think there are ways to create savings there. And I think in a lot of ways, I think we've established on this call that while cost is important, it's really not the core issue here. There's some other core issues that that are related, which are the ability to move and be flexible and all that in a rapidly changing environment. And really the question of, you know, how cumbersome is this for the association organization? And, you know, I would just, in that regard, suggest that there are lots of other, as was mentioned by Ms. Silver, much bigger organizations who serve their members, who have much bigger budgets and are able to continue to have their members voting.
Yeah.
I would also mention just briefly, too, that there are, and this is a kind of another box to open up, but there are commercial media outlets that are much bigger than KQED that have the shareholders voting on issues like the board of directors and the bylaws.
Hmm.
Clear Channel, for example, the biggest radio station, and I would not at all advocate that KQED become more like Clear Channel.
Not necessarily the model
right.
we most want.
But
probably.
Yet, you know, and that's a commercial outlet, and there's all sorts of other rules, of course, but they have an annual meeting, the shareholders vote. The shareholders actually even put forward two resolutions this year to try to change some corporate policy to Clear Channel. So, you know, I think it's important that these basic rights are retained.
Let me follow up with Jeff's point, Nick Donatello, with the question of really how much of a hindrance the vote, the power to vote really is. Because as you've outlined, there have been a lot of things that have happened at this organization in the last several years that KQED can rightly be proud of, including the initiation of a lot of local programming on the television side that just wasn't true a couple of years ago for, in fact, new series. You can look at the merger, whether you agree or disagree with that. It's certainly a major accomplishment that has changed the face of public broadcasting in this area. So my question, obviously, is these things are happening. It doesn't appear that there's a whole lot of hindrance going on.
Well, there are, of course, you only see the things that have happened and not the things that haven't happened. For example, a couple of years ago, when we acquired KQEI and extended our signal out
in
towards
Sacramento
and North Highlands, we were looking at an AM radio station that was also available. And our bylaws didn't allow us to own, oddly, they didn't allow us to own an AM station. And so that would have been a problem in the acquisition process. And in fact, you know, when you're in these processes, you sign non-disclosures, you're not really in a position to make it public because it's a condition of the negotiation. Now, in the end, there were other reasons why that deal didn't make sense, but we couldn't figure out how we were going to get that deal done. And the people on the other side would not have waited for us to hold a member vote, much less let us disclose.
Nor Silver, is that the kind of dilemma that faces nonprofit organizations, in this case a membership corporation, all the time, that you just have to dance a different way and that it is, by definition almost, more difficult to accomplish certain things?
Absolutely. If you look at any books or guidance about forming a nonprofit organization, they'll tell you to think very carefully about making it a membership organization because it is cumbersome and it is more difficult to manage. I think that's true.
And juxtaposed to that, what are the benefits that come from that sort of structure? Again, it goes back to your early point about messiness.
The benefit to any nonprofit organization, the question I think needs to be asked here is, how well does this structure serve and help the organization meet its mission? Does this structure help or hinder providing consistently high-quality non-commercial media? Does it inform, educate, and entertain? And I think there's an irony here in the tension about the whole question, which is that KQED is doing its job, by definition, in helping to inform us and educate us about governance, which is one of the trickiest issues in the nonprofit world today. I think the issue that I would put on the table right now is the issue of the internal tension. There's a pretty significant board split. 15-10 is not an overwhelmingly positive vote. Is there a question, will members feel disenfranchised enough to not participate in fundraising? In this time of merger and change, will there be less communication and less involvement? So I would look at some of the internal repercussions, not just the external ones.
Yeah, interesting points. Nick Donatello, on those two questions, will this potentially discourage the contributions and support that people want to give if they feel disenfranchised? And the board split on this. It was 15-10, as Dr. Silver noted. What does that suggest about the degree of tension within the organization itself on these questions?
Well, I think with regard to the board had a, as you might imagine, a long, thoughtful debate about this, and it was terrific. Those who were at the meeting, it was an open meeting, and those who were at the meeting were able to hear it. I thought the board conducted itself very, very well. The number one objection that I heard from board members, or concern that I heard from board members, was really what the public reaction would be. Not so much the more...
That it would send the wrong signal.
Well, yeah, I think some of the things that Dr. Silver talked about, which are the complexities of being organized the way we are, were acknowledged. But I think there was a concern that just, you know, the public might, or our members might be concerned about this, and that it might be easier to soldier on, basically, even though there are some challenges associated with our current structure.
And that's the equation, right? Because part of, if Dr. Silver's point also is that this might discourage people from membership and from support of this organization, then it begs the question of whether or not it's worth it.
I think that, that was the question the board ultimately decided it was, because $250,000 is a lot of money. And I've heard people talk about creative solutions. Regrettably, I don't think we have a lot of those available to us. But more to the point, 90% of our members don't vote when we have a ballot or an election. So that sends a pretty strong signal about the extent to which they value this vote. And I think the other thing that's important is a majority of our members have joined in the last 8 years. People aren't really sensitive to how much our membership turns over. We have a lot of longtime members for whom we are grateful, but we also have a lot of turnover, and that means those people have never voted.
Hmm. And to more of our calls, let's go next. Jeff Prostein, I'm sorry. I will get you back into the conversation in just a moment, but let's get to one more caller here. Harold in San Francisco joins us next. Harold, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. Well, I consider myself a member of your public, and I vote every time. And I actually want to comment on, I guess, Ms. Silver's comment about whether the current structure hinders KQED's mission. Because I, after reading the ballot, I actually support the bylaws changes. I think for me, KQED and public radio has been a real beacon of light in a very dark time for news media, and that especially as funds to support KQED shrink and the mediums of radio and television and internet evolve so quickly, we really need to give those members of the board, KQED's, who have KQED's best interest at heart, the ability to move quickly. And I think there's a point where we have to assume goodwill for the board because, you know, they're doing this because they believe in public radio, and they're doing this on our behalf.
All right. Harold, thanks. Thanks for joining in and offering your points this morning. We appreciate it. And let's get another caller in, Jeff from Oakland. Jeff, go ahead.
Yes, it's not being taken into account for those who happen to remember. KQED's history over at least the last 2 to 3 decades of very dubious property transfers, acquisitions, I'm talking about physical property, studios, I mean, so much money wasted needlessly, and that's not even getting to content now. Talking about serving the community, people have been asking, I'm sure the board members know this, for the return of the weekly local news show. Not Check Please, Bay Area, not 10 showings of Joshua Kornbluth, and no mention whatsoever of the PBS rarely run wonderful investigative series, which KQED Channel 9 is airing Saturday night at 2 a.m., Sunday afternoon at 1 a.m., but somehow not in a place like right after now on Friday night.
Harvey, thank you. Thanks for the observations, and we appreciate and hear some of the direction that you would like to see KQED go in. A couple of emails coming in. I never knew that as a member I get to vote. I'm no longer a member, but when I hear the pledge sessions, they do not say that a member gets to vote in terms of their participation. So perhaps a little more information need be coming out about those sorts of efforts. Someone else writes in, asking members to give up their right to vote is arrogant and insulting. If KQED really wants to increase the percentage of members of voting, it has the ideal means to do so through its radio and TV stations. And another writes in, I question the assumption that it's a bad thing that KQED may function more slowly because of community involvement. I question the assumption that KQED must compete with other broadcast options. Jeff Perlstein, I've neglected you. My apologies for the last several minutes, but chime in on what you've been hearing and on some of the concerns and issues that people have raised, including that from Harold earlier in San Francisco, who thinks that KQED needs to be able to do what it can because of the value of the service at this particular time.
Well, I would absolutely agree with Harold that KQED has tremendous value to the Bay Area and to the public. I would also agree with one of the more recent callers that I think KQED can do more as far as its local programming and featuring that local programming, local news, actually in key hours. But setting those pieces of content, you know, questions around content aside, I do think the email comments you got as far as this point of only 10% voter turnout and the fact that there's actually very little promotion or awareness made around the opportunity to vote aside from the mailing is quite significant. And I think it's especially significant if the board, Mr. Donatello, are going to point to the low voter turnout as a rationale for doing away with it. I think there's actually a number of other explanations for low voter turnout. Some of them are positive. One may be that actually most of the listeners actually feel pretty good about the general direction of KQED, and I think that's something for the board and staff to pat themselves on the back about. But I don't think that then is an argument for doing away with that vote and that check on the system for the rest of eternity, because who knows what may happen, say, in 4 years when management shifts or a poor decision is made, that there may be the need for some more oversight. So I think that may be one explanation for low voter turnout, that things are going well, generally speaking. And secondarily, I think, as was mentioned, as I've said, I think that the station, if they really do value the members' input and really do want more of a vote, then there's a lot more that could be done using this public resource, the public's airways, to educate and talk about the issues that are involved.
Jeff Perlstein, Executive Director of the Media Alliance. Nick Donatello, what more should the station do to encourage people to vote? Because voting is open right now. It's open through October the 25th.
Absolutely, and I hope that every member will vote. We certainly sent every member a ballot, and they can also vote online. If they didn't get their ballot, they can go online and we can make sure they get another one. There's a number they can call. But we're doing a lot more than just sending out the ballot. Every day on our television airwaves and here on KQED-FM, there are announcements from me, other kinds of announcements, encouraging members to vote multiple times every day. Probably some people are already sick of hearing them, but we're going to keep running them because we want the highest voter turnout we can possibly get. We also, on Tuesday of this week, sent an email to every member for whom we have an email address, encouraging them to vote, reminding them that there's a vote. And that was between 40 and 50,000 emails. We're going to do that again next week, asking everybody, reminding everyone to vote, another 40 to 50,000 emails. And right on the front page of our website, we've got a button and an announcement encouraging people to vote, asking them to vote. So we're using our resources as best we can.
And what will you do if the vote goes against the direction that the board hopes?
Well, we will continue to operate and do the best we can to serve the people of Northern California, our listeners and our viewers. All we've done is ask the members how they think this money should be spent.
And to Harvey in Oakland. Harvey, go ahead.
Yes. I want to comment about the different points of view between the membership and a board. Having been members of many organizations, as well as having been on the board and board presidents and even starting nonprofits, I realize that there are different pressures and different points of view. For example, the board point of view is very often, how can we make, in this case, the station work? Whereas the membership view is somewhat different in that it may be more, how do we want the station to work? Take, for example, the issue of the fact that most of us remember when public radio and public television did not have advertising as it does now. I know we don't call it advertising, we call it sponsorship or whatever, but the fact is that it is advertising, and this is a decision that would likely have had a different outcome had it been made by the membership as opposed to the board. And I want to just mention the fact that in this day and age, when there are political pressures made by PBS on public television stations, and there are political appointees that attempt, at least from what we've heard, to influence programming, boards are under certain pressures to maintain fundings that membership may not be.
We take your points, Harvey. Thanks. Sorry to cut you short, but we are just about out of time. And on that thought, lastly, let's go quickly once around. North Silver first, on perhaps taking off from some of what Harvey had to say about what a membership organization or what members can give that's different from what a board can give.
Things first. One is the board's unique job is to be the fiduciary responsible party for an organization. It does have to make the hard decisions. The membership's job here really is to cast a ballot. There are six different issues here, not just the issue of membership voting. So I would encourage anyone listening to please cast a ballot. And that the difference that members can make is they have a much broader view. The board is there to represent the community, but the community of almost 220,000 people now has a more diverse and broader voice than the 20-some or however many members of the board.
Nora Silver, thank you. Jeff Perlstein, a last very quick thought, please.
Sure. I just would applaud KQED for getting out the word about this very issue and using so much time, as Mr. Donatello detailed, to make sure people vote. I think it is ironic that KQED is using such significant resources in this particular vote when essentially they're asking the members to vote themselves out of ever having a vote again. And I actually would call into question if such resources have been marshaled previously on previous votes. So I do want to applaud KQED for getting the word out, but do want to really bring people's attention to the fact that any future vote is in jeopardy if they vote yes on number 5.
Jeff Perlstein, thank you. Nick Donatello, a last very quick thought.
Please vote.
Please vote. That's good. That's succinct. Nick Donatello is chair of the KQED Board of Directors. He joined us this hour along with Jeff Perlstein of the Media Advocacy Group and Nora Silver from the University of California, Berkeley. This is Forum on KQED. I'm Dave Iverson.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Claude and Louise Rosenberg Jr. Family Foundation.